Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. Greetings and salutations. This is the Cashflow Ninja. My name is MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me in another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. Thank you for all of your support. Thank you for all of the emails that I've gotten from everyone supporting us. Again, you can follow everything that we're up to and stay in touch and also join our community at cashflowninja.com. There's over 700 podcast episodes that we've done in 5 years. So everything is there that our community needs to know about to stay connected in this world of today. By the way, if you're listening to us or watching this video, we're on BitChute. We're making a big push on BitChute. We're on Rumble. We're on Brighteon. We're on all the alternative platforms. We're moving away from a lot of the Googles and the Amazons and all of the Facebooks and all of those different platforms, trying to support the platforms that actually support content creators. Another great platform that I love personally too, that there's a lot of people on there actually that's watching the show on there, is Library, lbry.tv. You could check it out there too. And again, I want to appreciate everyone for the support and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. I'm very excited to jump into today's show. I've got Rachel Jensen, a returning guest, friend of the show, joining us on the show. Rachel, great to see you.
Thank you. It's great to be back. I'm really excited about the topic we're going to talk about today. I'm always excited to talk about the topics that we talk about, but today, definitely still, there's just a lot of excitement going on within other parts of the world that we're going to be chatting about.
Absolutely. And we had Rachel on to talk about Teak, which is just a phenomenal, just a store of value over time. You look at where family offices, big foundations put their money. It's in Teak. Just check out the previous episode that I did with Rachel on that. We discussed that into depth. And I'm always seeing what you guys are up to, because there's a lot of interesting things that the folks at ECI Development is up to. And I came across the tiny home projects that you guys have created and are doing. And I was just fascinated about that. And I said, I got to have you back on to talk about this. So Rachel, what is the tiny home projects that you guys have been putting up in different parts of the world?
Sure. So I'm even going to take a step back from that. And when MC mentions ECI Development, so we're a regional development company that's based throughout Latin America. We're in Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Belize, Panama, and currently looking at additional property in a vineyard sort of setting like Chile or Argentina, and tropical highland setting like in Ecuador. We are also currently looking at Mexico. I've had a lot of people ask about Mexico, but it's exciting because we've been in business for about 25 years at this point, and our business model has always been to serve the consumer. And so one way that we serve the consumer is really by finding out what the consumer wants. And if we had one property in Belize, then you can bet whenever we're going to conferences or events, we're going to be talking about how great Belize is. But the reality is we have properties all across the region because we understand not everybody wants to be on an island in the Caribbean, or not everybody wants to be at the Pacific or the highlands or the vineyards. So we've taken this business model and spread it across the region to be able to offer geographic choice to our clients. And over time, what we've done within these different countries is built up communities, and within these communities, different neighborhoods that have different elements and different factors that are important to other people. So in Nicaragua, for example, I know Nicaragua is not as popular as a country. We can talk about that all podcast long if we wanted to, but Nicaragua was actually where I first started out in 2012 when I moved to Latin America. It's a fantastic country. It is so unbelievable, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. And so what we did in like Grand Pacifica, for example, is we built these different neighborhoods. And so some people were looking for larger single family homes. Some people were looking for condominiums by the water. And about 2 years ago, we really started to delve deeper into this concept concept of tiny homes, because what we started to see is this transition of people who started to work remotely. Now, over the past year, that has like triplicated. I think that's the word. We've triplicated the number of people that were working remotely. Prior to COVID, about 21% of the U.S. workforce was working remotely or from their computer or from home or wherever they wanted to work from. And now it's about 70, 71% of the United States workforce who has the ability to work from home is working from home. And that is incredible. And so as we really started to create these tiny home communities, digital nomad communities, with COVID, we saw that there was an even greater desire for people who wanted to spend time outside of their home country. And especially now, I'm doing this call from New York State. I'm visiting my family. I usually live in Belize. It's freezing up here, and I just can't wait to get back down to the tropics. But there are a lot of other people who are on the same boat where now they're able to work remotely. Why are they staying in a place that's freezing and cold when they could be in the tropics doing their conference calls and doing work? So tiny homes really started with the concept of us wanting to serve digital nomads. But over time, over the past couple of years, we've been building these communities up and really putting the foundational elements together. What we realized is there's also this demographic of people who just simply want to reduce their carbon footprints. You know, they don't need tons of space. They don't need that 3,500 square foot home. They would rather have a compact, efficient, eco-sensible, eco-friendly home that they can either live in or rent out or vacation to. So we're covering many different bases with the tiny home communities. But overall, what we've just seen is an incredible amount of general interest from folks who want to acquire one. And many have different reasons why it is they're looking at it, but it's been neat to see the excitement over the past couple of years.
I mean, it's very, very interesting too that you just mentioned that there are some folks that they're reducing just the stuff that they need too, right? It's just interesting that we're going back to full circle. I was having this conversation with someone the other day that essentially you had like World War II and Depression, you know, grandparents that, I mean, they didn't need a lot of stuff to make them happy. They realized what was important in life because they went through really tough and challenging times. And then, you know, the next generation, the boomers, it was McMansions and cars and motorbikes and beach houses, and everything was bigger. And it was a lot of stuff upon stuff upon stuff. Not all boomers, just generalizing. Some folks are not, they don't need all that stuff to make them happy. And then you had different generations, but it's essentially like now you have the millennials and the generations that followed. They're growing up in a different time too, the sharing economy, you know, and obviously a very challenging work environment and so forth, and realizing what's important. So it's almost like it's going back full circle where we're not going to need all this stuff upon stuff upon stuff to just make us happy, where this kind of falls in, which is very, very, very neat. Tell me, and our listeners and viewers more a little bit about the tiny homes. So you mentioned they are in Belize, they're in Panama, they're in Nicaragua, and there's also plans of setting up something similar in Mexico. What does it look like? So it's little communities and villages with these homes. Share a little bit more about the communities and the size of it and the houses and what it looks like.
Sure. So we'll start off with Belize. So Belize is where I call home. We're on an island called Ambergris Key. Ambergris Key is the number one destination in the entire country for tourism. It produces 70% of the tourism revenue for the entire country. And one of the big reasons is because Ambergris Key parallels the longest living reef in the world, second largest in size, longest living. And so we attract a lot of fishermen and divers and snorkelers and just water bugs generally. And over time, really in the 70s and 80s, Ambergris Key started to get popular with that demographic. But over time, the island has really become a mainstream tourism market. So it's cute. We drive around on golf carts. All the buildings are painted these fun, vibrant colors. It's a very charming Caribbean island that we're on. And so we, as developers, we've been there since 1998. We have a Best Western resort that we offer. We have Marriott as well. We have Canalfront condos. And we've had this land for about 5 or 6 years that we were initially planning to fill and then build single family homes or villas on this land. But as we were really exploring the tiny home movement, what we realized is why fill in this land, this tidal lake that we have? And instead, we can really embrace the natural community and this reserve and build over the water homes. And so these homes in the first phase are about 20 bungalows, and think Bora Bora style. So they're cute. They're tiny. I'll tell you square footage in a second, but they have the outdoor space. They have the rooftop with the palapa, so you can watch the sunrise, you can watch the sunset. They have the outdoor decking, so you can sit there and enjoy the space right by the water. There's also some really unique features within the house. So, for example, it has a glass bottom in a section of the house, so you can look right below and see the marine life that's there. So they're really quite fascinating. And as we were putting this community together, what we realized, and this is true for all of our communities, all the tiny home communities and all the neighborhoods that we've built over the past 20 years, is while the homes are small and these models range from about 300 to 400 square feet, and it's a true, it's a true one bedroom in a sense, or studio or loft, where they have the kitchen, they have the living space, they have the bedroom, the bathroom, of course. And each of the homes are really, really efficiently done and crafted. So every nook and cranny is properly utilized, because you have to when you're in space like that. And, you know, the tiny home movement really isn't new. For a lot of years, people have just been RVing in space of similar sort of space. But what you realize, and when you're RVing, you're going to a destination. And when you get to that destination, you park, you have your place that you live in. But what's really important, and what we've adopted from our other communities and neighborhoods, is the third spaces, or the common spaces. So we live in the tropics. In the tropics, it's warm year round. And so most of the time we live outside. So having those third spaces, so in Belize, for example, we'll have the palapa where people can come together, the rec area where you can go kayaking or paddleboarding or sit in the sun, or the restaurant or the bar area, the pool area. So having these sort of amenities and spaces are critically important in the construction and in the development of these neighborhoods. And so whether you're a digital nomad coming down for 3 months out of the year and renting a home, whether you're a vacationer coming down, or whether you're personally planning to come down for a portion of the year, all of the year, you have that space there. And within all of the homes, we have owner lockout closets. We also have washer dryers. And what really makes these homes fun is the fact that they are a hybrid model. So they're connected to the grid, but they also use solar. So solar during the day, they hook up to the grid at night. They have reverse osmosis systems for the water. So you're really cutting back on utilities and expenses and still getting everything that you need really in the comfort of your home there. So Belize is fantastic. It's a unique concept in that it is over the water. So in the first phase, we have about 20 homes. The second phase, we'll have about 40. First phase, we have started to construct already. So by the end of this year, early next, we anticipate that community being open. And then by the end of this year, we're in 2021. By the end of 2021, anticipating starting the second phase. So, and then I'm going to just jump down to Nicaragua and then Panama, and then we can come back. And do bear with me, guys, because each of the countries really is different. Belize is a Caribbean country. English is the official language. Ambergris Key specifically is a tremendous location, a really popular location for tourism. So you have a lot of the infrastructure there. The second country I'm going to talk about is Nicaragua. And I know some people are like, all right, that's, I'm going to turn the podcast off here. I don't want to hear Nicaragua, but I challenge you to listen and really keep your mind open when it comes to this country. Personally, I think it is probably the best country in the region for appreciation. It has the most opportunity compared to other countries. A lot of people have compared Nicaragua to Costa Rica, calling it the next Costa Rica, because it is still raw. It is still in its infancy. It has a very similar geography to Costa Rica. But as a development company, we've been there for over 2 decades. We have put tens of millions of dollars into our development project there. And it's a place we feel very bullish on, but it doesn't really matter what we think, it's what the world perceives it to be. So the location that we're in, it's the closest beachfront community to Managua, which is the capital. That's the most populous part of the country, where there's also the international airport. So the people fly into the airport, out at the beach community in 45 minutes, which is really, really quite quick. And then from there, we have a large property, 2,500 acres. And then this tiny home community, Ava, EVA, which stands for Eco Village Acachio, is within the Grand Pacifica development as a whole. And Grand Pacifica has been under development. We started developing it in 2005, 2006. So we've already built a great name for our place in the marketplace. You go to TripAdvisor, type in Grand Pacifica, you'll see beautiful pictures. We have a golf course there. But what really makes this property unique is the fact that we have two of the best surf breaks right there on our 3.5 mile stretch of beach. So we get a lot of surfers who are coming down. We also get a lot of wellness groups that are coming down. We have a lot of weddings at this property because it's stunning. You look out into the rolling Pacific waves. You have the sunset right there in front of you. It is just an incredible, incredible property. So when we were looking at the tiny home community, we have tons of acreage there in Nicaragua. And so we decided to put this community over close to the beach, the Ossochio Beach, which is a great swimming beach, great for boogie boarding. If anybody's just beginning to learn how to surf, Ossochio is where you want to do it. That's where I took my first and probably only surf lesson, but it is worth trying when you get down to Nicaragua to try surfing if you haven't before. But it's a beautiful beach. It also rides along the river that's over there. And so you have this mature community already, Grand Pacifica. You have a new neighborhood within it. So you have all the marketing that's been done from Grand Pacifica. And then bringing this neighborhood in is pretty much a no-brainer, especially because we have a lot of surfers who are coming. Like I mentioned, we have the guests coming from Managua. So there's this unique concept. And a lot of people over the past year have really been drawn to Nicaragua. Nicaragua has been a champion for freedom over the course of all the craziness going on. The borders never shut down. And you know what I might say next, I hope you don't get offended by if you do just skip over to Panama, but Nicaragua was a country that really took the Swedish approach in dealing with the pandemic. And so they said, we're not your parents. You are able to make your own decisions. If you're a business owner and you want to stay open, you can stay open. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you know that you have an elderly parent or grandparent at home, maybe you should be responsible enough to not go out into large crowds. So they took this really libertarian approach to how they handled the pandemic. And I can tell you, we've seen a lot of people be attracted to that. Now, maybe you may not personally be, but I can tell you, if you're an investor, who cares what you think? Just you want to be investing where the numbers are right. And the borders never closed. The places have stayed open. What that means is people, yes, there was definitely a dip in tourism. There definitely wasn't as many rentals happening over the pandemic, but there was still the opportunity for owners to get to their home or for surfers to come down and still surf. So just something for you to bear in mind there. But these homes are so cute. They range from 250 square feet to about 450 square feet, studios up to 2-bedroom models. And again, that community space is really critical in the development of the neighborhood. So we have community orchards here, for example. And because of the location, we have incredibly great volcanic soil, which is great for growing papaya, plantains, bananas, avocados, these sort of plants that you expect in the tropics. So we'll have that community gardening, a viewing tower, yoga platform, and it's just steps away from the beach. So you can be doing that boogie boarding or swimming or surfing that we talked about. And then I'm going to jump to Panama. I know I'm talking a lot here, so I hope you're all are bearing with me, but we'll go through the specifics in just a moment, I promise. Panama is one of my favorite countries personally. It's where I obtained my residency, my green card there about 5 or 6 years ago. And I chose Panama for a few reasons, but the reasons that I chose are probably other reasons why people are investing in the country is because it's a very stable economy. They have the Panama Canal there. So every time a boat goes through the Panama Canal, it's like an ATM machine, cha-ching, cha-ching, which means money is coming into the country for development and for infrastructure improvement, which a lot of times is important to somebody when they're investing in a new country. There's great medical care in Panama. It's known for a lot of the medical tourism. And it's also very easy to get to because there's Copa Airlines is primary hub there is Panama City. But in Panama, we are located on the western side of the country near an area called David and Boquete. It's in between David and Boquete. It's more of a jungle sort of setting. We have rivers and creeks that run through the property there. And this is similar in a sense to the Nicaragua property where there will be the community orchards. We already have hiking paths there that parallel the streams and the creeks. So it's very, there are three very different environments. Oh, and those homes, square footage range from about 300, a little bit larger to about 600 square feet, but really different countries, really different geographies. And so it just depends on what somebody's primary goal is and what they like if they're looking at it from the lifestyle perspective.
Yeah. And I think we have a range of folks in our audience which will look at this differently. And that's why I was so excited to talk to you about, because the first thing is there are a lot of folks that are digital nomads listening to us. There are maybe someone that's just looking for a vacation spot, as you mentioned. And then there are investors saying, how do I capitalize on a trend which is clearly accelerating of the sharing economy, this reducing, you know, stuff, as I mentioned. How do I capitalize on this? How do I position myself to invest in something that's going to catch onto this trend where the world is going, to position you on the right side of this? So it gives a little bit of something for everyone, because as you mentioned, folks that can work from anywhere, I mean, waking up in the morning in Belize or in Nicaragua in front of beautiful surf and still maintaining and working online and running your business is something that's very attractive. Maybe you're looking for a vacation place to go down to. Maybe you're an investor that's looking to buy something like this, which could be rented out, right? Which is part of this whole the package that you guys provide. And I did not know a lot about how Nicaragua handled this. I'm sure there's a lot of folks that appreciate the countries that treat other people like adults, because when you treat people like children, the chances are that they behave like children are much, much larger. And if you treat people like adults, well, the chances are that they're going to behave like adults. So I appreciate that. So we've got a lot of folks that are into freedom and respecting those type of rights. Let's talk a little bit about, okay, how do I get involved in purchasing some of this? Because there's a couple of different options, right? Maybe you can speak to a little bit of financing. I'm also aware that there are some cryptocurrencies, which you also accept for payment in this, which is very, very exciting. So that's catching on too, talking about trends. Maybe you can talk a little bit about how do people get involved? How do they purchase this and how do they finance that? And what does that look like?
Sure. So I do want to mention that all of the properties are full title ownership. So you as the owner can decide how it is that you want to hold title. Typically, the countries that are most popular for trust ownership, because we have had a lot of people do trust or self-directed IRAs, tend to be Nicaragua or Belize. When you get to Panama, there's just another level of complexity in order to own property in Panama in a self-directed IRA. It's possible, but it's just more expensive and more complex. So it just depends how you want to hold title to it as well. That may dictate where it is you decide to ultimately own. But all countries, you will receive title to it. So even as a foreigner, it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter if you're not a resident of the country, you do receive that title. So I just want to mention that because it is important, especially if you're thinking about this for the long term. And with that being said, we do have different ownership options. So people are able to pay cash, of course. Also, we do have up to 80% financing available. So it is with a bank that's based in Belize. It's an international bank. In order for somebody to get financing, they would need to open a bank account with that bank. KeyBank is the name, C-A-Y-E. You are pre-approved as an ECI property owner, which is nice, but you still do have to go through the formalities of opening the bank account and then applying for the loan. And the terms vary. It's either 4.9% interest or, and that's for a, there's a 50% loan to value. It's 4.9% interest, 5-year balloon, 30-year AM schedule. Or if you wanted to do 80% financing, then it's 6.9% interest, 5-year balloon, 30-year AM schedule. And I can run through the numbers with you specifically. If you have a specific property you would like to learn more about, I can give you that breakdown there. But it is with that third party, the international bank. Another popular way that we've been dealing with ownership is through cryptocurrency purchases. We've been doing this probably for the past 3 or 4 years at this point. Bitcoin is definitely the most popular crypto that we've accepted, but there are other currencies, cryptocurrencies that we can accept as well. And that's a pretty pretty seamless transaction. We work with a facilitator. You would send the cryptocurrency to them and then they would send it over to us. You know, that's just the checks and balances, make sure that everything looks good. And then once received, then you receive a receipt and we just make it as easy as possible. And so what we do for a lot of these communities, it's a pre-construction opportunity. You're able to get in, then there are staged payments throughout the construction period. So it's progress payments based on how the construction is going. In Belize, we've started to break ground on the tiny home community there. In Nicaragua, we've also broken ground on the tiny home community there. And then Panama, it'll be probably really middle of this year, middle of 2021, where we do the official launch of that project. But we have the preliminary details if anybody is interested in seeing that. And so once, as the construction occurs, and there are the payment schedules based on the progress, and then once the property is fully complete, then owners, we like to have opening parties as well for people to come down and meet their owners and the fellow owners. And I think this is probably one of my favorite parts of working with the organization, are these get-togethers, because what I tend to find is the owners who are owning real estate overseas kind of are the black sheep of their networking groups or their groups or their family and friends or neighbors. And so I can tell you, I'm in New York now visiting my parents. And when I, you know, meet up with friends that I went to high school with, I'm like, yeah, it's so great. Nicaragua is such a wonderful country. I just invested in a home there. Like, you're crazy. You know, that is the most dangerous country in the world. And when I moved there in 2012, people thought I was going to get kidnapped. I mean, so there's just this, I didn't obviously get kidnapped, but there's this very different mentality that I think a lot of listeners who are listening to your podcast understand and can benefit from. And so these get-togethers are a great way for you to meet other like-minded owners who also decided to own a home in another country, whether it's diversification or investment or whatever their mentality is. But it's neat. It's a great way for other like-minded people to get together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I chuckle when I hear people say stuff like that, because if you look at the crime statistics, especially in 2020, I mean, the U.S. ranks up there with the best. So, but yeah, no, this is great. I mean, like we mentioned, the different angles from which folks are coming from this, whether it's digital nomads, vacationers, investors, and so forth, makes and provides a lot of different things to these three different types of people, right? International diversification is one of the things. Residency that then plays into that is another thing. Having a plan B or a plan C or a plan D in place is never a bad idea. What are some of the price points of these tiny homes? What does that look like? What is the potential, like, I would say, what would they rent out for example?
Sure. So in Belize, I'll start with Belize and then work my way down through Central America. So Belize is where you'll find that it's the most expensive because they are over the water. And those homes start at $169,900 plus closing costs and furniture. So it comes out to about $190,000 at the end of the day. And in Nicaragua, those homes started about $92,000, and then turnkey, when you include furniture and closing costs, about $100,000. But then we have going all the way up to the Macaw model, which is a two bed, two bath. It's about $130,000 plus closing costs and furniture. And then in Panama, we have it starting at about $120,000, working up to about $150,000. So it just depends on the home that you're specifically looking at and the country that you're looking at. And so average daily rates just depend on the country that we're in. So because Ambergris Key is such a popular tourism destination, but you know, we're also not entirely sure of what the rental rate would be. We're going to estimate because there are really no other over the water communities because of restrictions. So we're going to estimate $150 a night during low season, $200 a night during high season. But the nice part is we have the ability, because we've been in the rental market, that's been our business over the past 20 years, is we have the ability to monitor it. And so if we see in the first month we have 100% occupancy, well, we know we can bring the prices up a little bit. So we're able to do that with those online travel agencies. And then in Nicaragua, probably about $100 to $150 a night. And then in Panama, about $150 to about $200 a night as well. Boquete and David, that area over there, if anyone's heard of it, or maybe you haven't heard of it before, but it's the tropical highlands sort of setting. So it's cooler climate. You have low 60s at nighttime, mid 70s during the day. And so that draws a lot of people in. So it's a big place for tourists and expats to come that region over there because of the climate. And it's also, there are a lot of hiking paths over there, whitewater rafting, rivers, fly fishing. So a lot of great stuff going on in that community as well, generally as a region of Panama. So it just varies, but we do have performas based on what we expect in Nicaragua and Belize. Because we have properties there, we've been able to anticipate the numbers based on what we've seen historically. So in Panama, we're doing a little bit more guesstimating just based on our experience, but we can certainly send performers over. And I just do want to note that it depends on the time that you're listening to the podcast, because over time, as we develop more and more phases are built, you know, this is being recorded in 2021. And I have had people who've listened to our podcast in like 2019, I think it was, who are like, all right, well, you said the trees are 18 years old. That was for Teak. And I'm like, okay, well, 2-3 years has passed. They're no longer 18 years old. But I do want to bear in mind, you all to bear in mind, that just if you're listening a little bit later, prices may be a little bit higher. We may not have complete inventory of everything we're talking about. We may have more inventory. Just reach out to get the latest of what we're working on. And then I know, MC, you mentioned Mexico. We're really excited about Mexico. It is something that, you know, honestly, we hadn't really considered as a part of the business model. And over time, over the past couple of years, we've just had more and more people asking for Mexico. So our team is going in March to scout out some properties. If you're listening after March, come back and ask us how the scouting went. We'll have some answers for you. But we're really excited to be looking at that country as well for an eco-village community. And, you know, one point I do want to mention is that we've labeled these communities as test communities, tiny, eco-friendly, and smart. So you understand the tiny aspect of it because they range from 250 to 600 square feet. The eco-friendly is the fact that homes in Panama, Nicaragua specifically can be totally off the grid. Belize, it's more of a hybrid model because it's over the water, but it can be off the grid. We use reverse osmosis in Belize, gray water recycling in Nicaragua and Panama. So we add those environmental elements as well. There's also the green roofs, which is great for insulation in both Panama and Nicaragua. So big advantages there. And then the smart, if people want the smart features, you know, where they can unlock their door with their phone, for example, they can add those, but they're not required.
Yeah, I love the fact that you guys are looking at Mexico too, the freest country in North America right now, especially as proven in 2020 and 2021. So you also had mentioned that if you're interested in looking at all three, there's a different package that folks have available to. So you don't have to necessarily choose between one or the other. There's actually a way to do this where you can actually buy and purchase and own a tiny home in all three areas, right?
Yes, and we call it the trifecta model. So right now it's $399.9 plus the closing costs and furniture. And, you know, ultimately this trifecta model will be true across the board as we pick up more property in Argentina or in Mexico. You know, you can choose one at the vineyards in Argentina, one in Mexico, one in Belize, and still be able to integrate it in. And what we've seen is because they are at an affordable price point with 80% financing as well, it becomes even more possible for a lot of people where you don't have to choose one geography. You know, I live on an island, but I like vineyards. I like highlands. So for me personally, why don't I get three? I can spend 3-4 months a year in each location, rent it out when I'm not there, and then just have a great lifestyle component to the rental side. So yeah, the trifecta model, $399.9, again, depends on when you're listening to it. But at this point, at the time of recording, that's what our trifecta model is. But it's great. You can pick and choose where it is you want to be based on your likes and preferences.
And then also, you guys take care of the management of this, right? So after you own it, it's furnished, it's financed, you can go down on certain dates and enjoy it. But as an investor, then you have a company that also can handle the management issues and rent it out. So you're not turning, you don't have to start another business basically and run an overseas rental business in tiny homes.
Yeah. And I can guarantee you, if you're not living at that location, you don't want to try to do it on your own. I've seen a lot of people who I think have gotten really spoiled with this Airbnb method. And they probably live 2 miles away from the Airbnb that they're renting out. But it's a total nightmare if you're trying to do it from overseas. So we do have a rental management company in each of the locations. It's an in-house, it's turnkey. So we make it really, really easy for you. And I do want to mention that we have two rental programs that people can choose. One is really for the investor mindset. So if you're looking at this ownership from the investment perspective, where you really want to cater and serve the group of digital nomads that are coming down, or tourists, for example, then you get 6 weeks of personal usage per year in each home. It's 4 weeks during low season, 2 weeks during high season. High season in these countries is usually November through about May. So think of when it's, you know, pretty gross weather up north and people are coming down on vacation and wanting to spend time in Latin America. And then there's also, that's the investor package. So you're able to spend 6 weeks out of the year, two during high, four during low. Now, there's also the lifestyle rental program. So let's say you want to come down and you want to spend 6 months out of the year in your home. You're able to do so under the lifestyle renter program. And we will put your home in the rental program just when the other homes that are in the primary investor rental program are all occupied. So there still is the opportunity for you to earn rental income. We can't guarantee what it's going to be. We don't know, but your home, the homes that are in the investor rental program will get preference to ones that are not, but you still do have the ability to do so. So just something to bear in mind is there is the flexibility. You can come in and out of the programs if you choose. Let's say now, you know, you really can't work from home, or there are obligations you have at home where you're not able to spend 6 months or however much time out of the year where you have to finish that up. Maybe in 5 years you will be able to do so. You let us know, we can take it out of the rental program and you can spend the time in there that you choose.
Absolutely. Now, we have international diversification through our investments is one thing. Then diversifying yourself and the risk of your safety internationally is another thing to look at. What type of residency programs does purchases like this qualify you for?
Yes, great question. So in Belize, there's an investor residency. You have to invest $250,000 or more to get that residency. So that would be the equivalent of two tiny homes. Or what we have a couple people do is one tiny home. And then we also have Best Western Studios. So Best Western, like the hotel, you own a studio, rental studio in the hotel complex in Belize. And so through the ownership of those two homes, you'll get to that $250,000 mark. So you can do that. That's permanent that leads to permanent residency after 5 years. The other option in Nicaragua is the investor residency. You have to invest at least $30,000. So one of the tiny homes would qualify you for that. You would open up a local corporation, a local Nicaraguan corporation, title the property in the name of that local Nicaraguan corporation. And then from there, you'd be able to get the investor residency. And then Panama, you're qualified for residency with just a minimum of $10,000 invested into the country. So obviously a tiny home there would work for you. You do have to be from a country that's considered friendly, a friendly nations to Panama. We can give you those details, of course. But personally, I think I mentioned this before, I did the residency in Panama through our TEEK program, actually, which is what we've talked about on the previous podcast. And, you know, I didn't really have any intention of living in Panama. I was living in Belize at the time, still am living in Belize. And I figured I would try and to apply for the residency program, see how it turned out, because ultimately I would end up with this permanent resident status, like a green card in another country. And should I choose to live in Panama at any point? Great. If not, well, at least I had this insurance plan in a sense in my back pocket where I could live in another country. It gives me the ability to do so. It doesn't matter if I want to do it now. I just know that in the future I have options. So Panama is definitely the easiest. You only have to visit one day every 6 years. It's also the lowest entry. In Nicaragua, your $30,000 entry. And then in Nicaragua, in Panama, Belize rather. So Nicaragua, $10,000 entry. In Nicaragua, $30,000 entry. And then in Belize, $250,000 entry. So you can see there are different values to the residencies there, but all of them are great options. And just depending on what your long-term goals look like, you know, Panama's great. One day every 6 years is all you have to visit. So just really depends on your ultimate goals. But that's what we're here for, is to help you through that and figure out which country may make the most sense for you if you are looking to protect your most important asset, which truly is yourself.
Yep, absolutely. And Panama is awesome. Last time I was there was about 12, 13 years ago. And it was a long time already in a short life. But yeah, it was fantastic back then. I can only imagine the development, and because it was there was a lot going on when I was back there, a lot of building, especially in Panama City. It was crazy. So I can only imagine what it looks like now.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't even recognize Panama City. I can tell you, I started going in 2012. When I was there last in 2020, the city landscape is just so different. And, you know, personally, it's one of the reasons I like it, because I grew up close to New York City, where I have access to everything in the city. And Panama City is the same. You have access to pretty much anything. But it's a neat country. All of the countries are really unique. They have different feels to them. And so if you have the ability to do so, and it's important for you to check them out, you know, schedule time to visit the countries. I know it's a little bit more difficult right now with everything going on, but it is still possible. The countries are all open. The borders are open. So you are able to come down, but just depends on what your timelines look like and who it is you want to be serving.
Awesome. Rachel, where can our listeners learn more about this? How can they get in touch with you? I know that you put up a landing page for all of our listeners in our community with a ton of information that we didn't share today as well.
Yes, I would definitely recommend cashflowninja.com/tinyhomes. cashflowninja.com/tinyhomes. That's the best way for you to get in touch with us. While we did talk a lot about the tiny homes specifically, we have a tremendous amount of resources to send you. We have handbooks that we've put together for each of the countries so you can learn the A through Zs of each of the locations. We also have a document called the Global Property Resource Kit, which is an incredible white paper. It's really a resource guide for folks who are just starting to explore property ownership overseas. There's something in there called the 15 must ask questions when looking for property overseas. And, you know, a question as simple as asking, is it plumbed for hot water? The answer for our communities across the board is yes. But if you are looking for the first time in other countries, note that it's not standard building practices to have hot water in your home. So that's a really incredible resource, the Global Property Resource Kit. But just to request that, you can either email us cfn@ecidevelopment.com, like Cashflow Ninja, cfn@ecidevelopment.com. But I'd say the best way to get all the resources is definitely cashflowninja.com/tinyhomes.
Fantastic. Well, really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing this exciting developments that you have across Central America. This is pretty, pretty exciting stuff. Very, very interesting. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on the show again and connecting.
Of course. Well, thank you, MC, for having me. We look forward to updating everybody with the latest when we hear from you. And in the meantime, have a great morning, evening, afternoon, depending on what time you're listening to this. Bye, everyone.
Fantastic. And thank you so much for spending your most valuable resource, your time with me on the show. Check out all of our past episodes, community resources, and much, much more at cashflowninja.com. And definitely check out cashflowninja.com/tinyhomes for more information on what we covered in this episode today. Until next time, live infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.